For October 5th, 2011, Nicolas Cage presents Video Games Hot Dog. I'm Zach.
I'm Riff.
And I'm Kevin.
And it's Video Games Hot Dog, episode number 24. If the last few months had been a day and each episode of Video Games Hot Dog had been an hour, it would be time to go to bed.
We've got like a whole case of Video Games Hot Dog.
That's true.
Two dozens.
I got a bad case of Video Games Hot Dog myself. How you guys been?
I'm all right.
What are you been up to?
I've been breaking my legs.
You broke your leg?
Well, no.
I saw it happen. You fell knee. And it went crunch.
Yeah, it sounded bad to me.
You were climbing a wall. You were climbing a rock wall. I was holding a rope. I made it so that fall didn't kill you.
That's
it just
true.
Broke your leg.
not a real break. Not like to the point where I'd get a cast or anything. But every now and then when I am walking, if I put any sort of sideways force on my leg, it's a shooting pain.
Which in most of your walking takes place in fun houses.
Yeah.
You do.
That's true.
Sounds like maybe you tore something. Maybe you should get that checked out.
I don't think I could have torn something. It wasn't that kind of injury. I just banged it against the wall real hard.
Huh.
So I'm going to give it a couple of days and see how it feels.
Time heals all wounds, my friend.
I've hit my knee on the wall before. Yeah. That's sage advice, my friend.
Sometimes you just punch the wall. Sometimes you get angry that you can't make a move at the rock gym and you go, damn it. God damn it. And you kick the wall.
I have done that in a long time.
It's weird to see you flip out. I feel like I made fun of you enough when you did it because it was embarrassing. I'd be like, you know what? I'm leaving. But then I realize I'm the only thing holding
you're
off the ground.
To me.
Yeah, so I better not leave. What about you, Riff? What did you hurt recently?
Nothing, thankfully.
Kevin, stop reading depressing news. Put your goddamn phone away. We're doing a podcast.
What are you talking about? You're looking at a computer screen. I don't even understand.
You know what this computer screen has on it, Kevin?
The podcast. I'm looking at the podcast.
Listen, I've been looking at this for so long that I can tell what we're saying just by looking at these shapes on the screen. Yeah. I'm like Cypher.
Blonde, redhead.
Yeah. In fact, Riff just said, I wasn't even listening to him, but I know by looking at this, he just said blonde, redhead. What have you been up to, Riff?
Nothing much.
Literally nothing?
Yeah, it's sleeping.
Cool.
Did a ass load of writing.
Yeah, you wrote a bunch of vampires.
Yeah.
Save a horse, write a vampire.
Still kind of recovering from that. God, it was like 14 hours and then a 2-hour nap and then 6 more hours.
That's a lot of writing.
Yeah.
It was a lot of writing. It was a lot of jokes at the expense of White Wolf tards.
Hmm.
Nothing we hate more than nerds on this show. We went to a haunted house. Riff didn't go to a haunted house. Me and Kevin went to a haunted house.
I can't do haunted houses.
Not that scary.
No.
I was disappointed. So last year, I hadn't ever really gone to like a real professional haunted house in my life. And last year, I changed that. Went to one, and there were some genuinely scary moments in it. And then this past year, or like this past weekend, we went to another one. And
it just seemed like a year because it was such a great haunted house.
It was not so good. Like the set design was like higher caliber. Like they had a bunch of stuff going on, but it just wasn't scary. Like
there was a pretty cool zombie street.
Yeah, like Zombie Town, Zombie Land. I guess
you kind of wandered around. You were being directed through it by some barricades and some oil barrels and stuff that had been set up and some cars that were parked inside this building.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you walk through some stores. And then randomly, there's like an insane clown posse kind of thing going on in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Welcome to the Psycho Circus. The clown said. And then we walked through a bunch of hallways that had creepy clowns painted on them. And it was like, yeah.
So like the haunted house that I went to in 2010 had a section that was like also sort of like the weird fluorescent paint or whatever. But they had to wear these glasses that made things look like they were floating. And that was kind of creepy in places. And then stuff would jump out at you while you were like looking at all this creepy, weird shit. And that was worth doing. But just having like sort of black light paintings on the walls is not scary.
Yeah.
I mean, they were scary black light paintings of clowns.
Yeah.
There were sometimes a clown like in a worm's mouth. A clown.
Biting its own tail.
A clown instead of a dick. Uh-huh. Happens sometimes when there's a painting of a clown. Sometimes it's a clown instead of a dick. And that's what makes it creepy.
Oh, is it just like a giant from the waist down.
Yeah, it's a glory hole with a clown coming through it.
Huh.
I thought the zombie stuff was cool.
I liked the idea of the zombie stuff.
The zombies were a little too loud for me. Yeah, I wish they'd been skulking around.
A little too fast.
Yeah, yeah.
I feel like the 28 Days Later zombies are scary in movies, but in real life, you wouldn't have enough time to be scared.
28 Days Later zombies aren't really zombies because they're
just
still alive.
Just a guy running at you real fast.
It's a crazy guy. It's not a dead guy. Okay. I don't think they're zombies. They're not zombies. You got to be dead to be a zombie.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I think I agree.
So the the voodoo stuff that doesn't kill you but like just turns you into a brainless.
No, that's the thing that happens in real life, and there are no zombies in real life. Is the argument that I would make to counter what you just said.
Well, plus I think part of that ritual is convincing that person that they are dead, even though they aren't actually.
Like you make them listen to that song, "Pretend That We're Dead," mm-hmm. over and over again.
Yeah.
I don't know who did that song.
I don't.
Didn't L7 do a cover of it?
I feel like you can't just definitionally say that there are no zombies, right? Like,
That's
the thing that happens. That's the thing that happens in real life. Therefore, it can't be zombies because zombies aren't real. Maybe zombies are real.
Could be. I guess.
You don't know.
I've never seen one.
Right.
Have you seen one?
No.
Has anybody you know seen one?
No.
Has anyone in recorded history ever seen one?
That maybe.
Oh my God! Maybe Santa Claus is a zombie.
Yeah. Could be a tooth fairy.
Leprechauns.
Why else does he want those teeth? His own keep falling out because he's a zombie.
That's right. Yeah.
Because they're pretty close to your brain.
Maybe that's how Jared Fogle lost all that weight. He was a zombie.
Oh.
And he was also Japanese. So when Subway said to eat fresh, he was like, okay. And then he did.
Wow.
Those jokes never get funny.
Yeah.
what else did we do? You saw Thor?
I did.
You didn't like it much.
It was pretty bad. The more I think about it, the less I like it. So if that's an indication, like there were some decent action sequences, but nothing really spectacular. And there was a storyline in Valhalla that just didn't, or Asgard, I guess, that was just like boring. And then a storyline on Earth that was double boring. So
I don't know.
So you got three times the boredom for your money.
Lady scientist. You didn't like that story?
I liked the idea of the lady scientist, but it was just like, there was a section where one of the girls like looked at something that had been already pinned up to a board and was like, come look at this. And like they all walked over to it and they were like, and like somebody had to have pinned it up to the board.
Maybe they did it in their sleep.
Yeah.
Or maybe that was like, oh, they finally figured out something about this thing that had been pinned up on the board. Or maybe it was somebody else's board.
It was their board.
I don't think it was their. Maybe somebody replaced their board with a board with an additional thing on it.
Oh my!
No.
How spooky would that be?
That'd be pretty spooky.
That's the new haunted house.
There was the ersatz Wilt Chamberlain in charge of the gate at. Jotunheim. Not Jotunheim.
He was probably the most interesting character in the whole thing.
You think?
Yeah.
I mean, Wilt Chamberlain. Even being kind of like Wilt Chamberlain makes you more interesting than most things.
Yeah. He doesn't always drink beer, but when he does.
He always plays Bombata.
I saw a couple other movies that were pretty good. Win-Win. It's Paul Giamatti. He plays a lawyer.
Mm-hmm.
It's good. That one's really good. And then Skateland, which was okay.
It's like, is that like Zombieland, except everybody's being chased by stingrays?
Yes.
Cool.
Yeah.
And then Bill Murray shows up, and he's just pretending to be a stingray?
Yes.
And Sting shows up pretending to be Bill Murray?
Yes.
Okay.
They play the entertainer the whole
time? Yeah, I think I heard about that on, Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah.
I heard about that on Ain't It Cool News.
Oh, man. Little
Harry Knowles told me about that one.
Is that still the worst website ever?
I've never looked at it.
I haven't looked at it in years.
Oh, yeah. It was one of those things where each sentence was in a different color and font size.
Oh, yeah. It was like the Drudge Report.
Maybe. I never read the Drudge Report.
It was like the Time Cube.
It was a lot like Time Cube. Yeah, it was like Time Cube, but with Hollywood News instead of
wasn't a lot of it fake Hollywood News.
No.
It was a lot of...
It was all hearsay.
Yeah, it was a lot of the news is, I'm totally meta Hollywood guy, you guys.
I'm meta Hollywood guy? Like, so yes, he's not a Hollywood guy. He's
I am just meta about, Hollywood guy.
He's about a Hollywood guy.
Yeah.
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 Hollygo lately.
What was that? That was in Breakfast. That was the main character in Breakfast at Tiffany's, right?
Yes.
There was that poster on the wall of the apartment that we rented. That was about the daring darling Hollygolightly.
Yes.
That was a fairly clever turn of phrase, I thought. A daring darling. It looks interesting when you look at it in print.
Sure.
played by New York's own Anne Hathaway.
Yes.
I'm not even sure where Anne Hathaway is
from. I thought Anne Hathaway was an actress from, like, the 60s or something like that.
I was... still associate her with Mr. Drysdale's secretary.
Yep. Yeah. That's weird. You mean that because that's her name?
Yeah.
That's a reasonable association. I don't think there's anything actually wrong with
her. It's not surprising. It's just I can't get rid of it.
Although, Mr. Drysdale's secretary was fucking hot. The new Anne Hathaway.
Wait.
Meh.
Is this the Mr. Drysdale that has those horses that pull the at Christmas time?
Yeah, the Budweiser.
Yeah,
the Budweiser Drysdales. Horses.
Yeah, the Drysdales. Yeah.
Bud Dry. That's the new line of horses that they genetically engineered to use in the marketing of Bud Dry. Huh. Why ask why? Try these Drysdales.
Try these Drysdales. Yeah, so that's what we've been up to.
Cool. What about video games? You've been playing any video games?
A couple.
You've been cheating. You've been telling tales out of school and playing the next assignment early. We're not going to tell you what it is yet, because there's so no talking good. About it. Like there's no crying in baseball.
So unless it's your party,
I've been playing. I played some more of that Tiny Heroes. I haven't finished it. I finished the first and second campaigns, and I am totally ready to buy the next campaign when it comes out as downloadable content.
Is it going to?
Yes. Yeah. There's like a coming soon thing on it. Already in there, and I'm like, okay.
I like that game, but I find myself playing it, failing a level, and closing it instead of restarting the level.
I will play a level, like stuff will start to go wrong because
on getting a perfect score. Yeah,
so as is my want, as soon as they touch a treasure, unless there's some way for me to get it, put it back, I am going to quit that game, and so then I'll try to figure out what I did wrong and like what strategy I could use. I like it because I sort of have faith in their level design, that they're all possible to get 3 stars. And some of them are super, super hard and took me a lot of tries.
I got to a level where there's just sort of 2 channels and it alternates sending dudes into those 2 channels. Yeah. And I've been having a hard time with the resources at my disposal in the first 3 or 4 rounds getting both of the channels stopped.
Yeah, sometimes it's really, really tricky. I think it suffers from something... what is that game where you're like mixing elements? Doodle God. The first, when you don't have a bunch of stuff to play with, it's still pretty fun. But then once you get a bunch of possible resources, it's really hard to like narrow it down and figure out what you want to use.
Did you feel that way in Plants vs. Zombies?
I didn't, but I felt like everything was pretty obviously situationally useful. But then you just sort of pick the things that you liked the best. And I think you could probably beat most levels with a bunch of different combinations of stuff. Whereas I don't have as much confidence
in adventure mode a second time. It's randomly selecting a lot of your,
it gives you maybe 3.
Not randomly. It gives you 3 that it has chosen, but they're not 3 that you chose.
Correct.
Right.
And that's what they do to make it more interesting. So
it certainly isn't winnable with a random selection.
A purely random selection. Sure.
Because you could get the, all I have is sunflowers and mushrooms and it's daylight.
Right. But I mean, if they give you ones that are all useful on your level, you might still have a really hard time sometimes.
If you get all the really expensive ones.
But you can, like, you know, I think we had very different strategies, right? Like
in Plants versus Zombies.
In Plants versus Zombies. Yeah. And I think that's probably true also in
Plants.
Tiny Heroes, where there are probably multiple strategies that could win any level. But some things, I think, are just not as strong as others, and so I feel like you're just making it harder for yourself.
Some things mothers are not as strong as other things mothers.
Yes. And then so in the second campaign, they introduce some cool stuff where there's, like, features on the ground, and if you put stuff on top of those, it's like a little flaming square or like a sort of heated cracks in the ground. And some stuff, you put it on there, it's made out of wood, it just catches on fire. And other stuff you put on there, it gains power because it's like magical. It's like sort of channels into magical.
Like a thing that increases the damage of whatever thing you build on it, or.
But yeah, so like when you get like the little dragon egg, if you like, you have a normal dragon that you get to use, and then if you put it on top of those, you get like a super dragon.
I heard Felicia Day laid a dragon egg.
She did.
Yeah.
Yeah. The past 2 days, I sort of got totally obsessed with this iPhone game called Crossfingers, which is like a sliding block puzzle / Tangram type thing.
That one's been around for a while. I remember playing it at San Diego Comic-Con, the previous one.
Yeah, I don't know what... I think the fact that it was free for a weekend...
Yeah, it was free for a weekend. We were just, like, looking at the games that... Like, my girlfriend just got an iPhone, and we were looking at the games that she had chosen to download. And it was like, whoa, what's that? And none of us had ever heard of it. And then that's all we played for, like, 3 days.
Yeah. I remember it was made by somebody that had made something else significant, but I don't remember what.
The aesthetic is kind of like one of those, like, labyrinth games. I could imagine somebody who did, like, the ball and labyrinth thing, that being the same guy, maybe. It was a lot of fun. It was a ton, like 450 sliding block puzzles.
Yeah, I'm like two-thirds of the way through it, maybe. I'm like halfway through the hard puzzles.
Okay.
I guess. Yeah, I don't know. You got through it in less time than I did.
Well,
You're better at those kind of things than I am, and played it more, for longer stretches. Yeah. I only play it in as long as it takes me to poop.
Yes. Yeah,
which is sometimes only 45 minutes.
I will play it like a half hour before I go to bed and like an hour when I'm sort of like slowly waking up in the morning.
I see.
So.
Those are my porn times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Half an hour before bed, an hour when I get up. That's just like the doctor ordered.
The only other thing I played
was... It was one of those pot doctors, though, so...
Oh, it's a Moby game. They're the guys that did Edge.
What is Edge?
We should sue those guys.
It is... it's a sort of... I don't know, moving a block around the thing to gather dots, but they were the ones that got into that big brouhaha with the Tim Langdell,
the guy
that thought he owned the trademark on the word Edge.
We should sue those guys.
Yeah.
That was that joke that I made.
Yeah.
I think finally some court made him stop.
Yeah.
He can't do that anymore. Edge was the one where you're a cube and you move, you can either slide the cube or roll the cube, right?
I think you're always something. Rolling it.
You're always
but
rolling
sometimes
it.
There's... blocks that will push out and push you around.
There's, man, did you guys see that game that I can't remember the name of that's like space Minecraft? It was like ships made out of cubes flying around, mining asteroids made out of cubes.
No.
It looks pretty good. I mean, it looks like it could be pretty good. It's space Minecraft.
Space Minecraft sounds awesome,
I forget
actually.
What it's called. Kidney failure or something.
What? Like,
I don't remember. That's what I think of. When I was trying to think of the name of that, I was like, what's it called? Like kidney failure?
Black lung?
Yeah.
Iron lung.
Strep throat.
Okay.
Yeah. It's pretty good.
Huh.
What else?
What have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I've been playing a bunch of Crossfingers.
Yeah.
It's pretty good. I'm enjoying it. I have been playing a lot of the Old Republic beta. I can't talk about it, and it's driving me fucking crazy.
Yeah, that sucks, man.
I don't think I can even say, like, it's awesome. I think I'm probably going to get arrested for saying, I'm allowed to say there is a Star Wars The Old Republic game testing program. I am in the Star Wars The Old Republic game testing program, but that's it.
That is the extent
I don't think that I can say it's fucking rad. And I like just am constantly hearing lightsaber noises in my head everywhere I look. And I'm like, oh man, I got to hit 5 so I can jump over there and cut that shit in half.
So none of those, you can't say any of those things.
I can't say any of those things.
That's a good thing that you didn't say any of those things, because that would be,
anyway,
would suck for you.
So I've been playing a lot of Glitch also.
I'm surprised.
You're surprised that I've been playing a lot of Glitch?
That does not seem like the game that would hold your interest.
No, I mean, it's only been a couple of days.
You installed an app on your phone so that you could play it while you pooped.
Yeah, no, it was so that I could play it while we were like...
You're playing it right now, actually, right?
Yeah.
Because your character's like...
Because you're training.
Yeah, it's got that Eva. I installed a toilet in the studio. It's got that thing where you train skills. So Glitch is like... The people that made Game Never Ending... Here's the thing, right? Like, Game Never Ending seemed to me to be a thing that was so full of potential. And then when it stopped, when it ceased to be a thing, is when I sort of became a guy who made video games for a living. And then it was like, all right, somebody needs to make video games on the web, right? Web games. It's the future. It's the future, guys. So I made a video game on the web, and then I was always like, man, Game Never Ending would have been so good. But I'll bet the Game Never Ending would have been fucking boring after a while. I bet I would have lost interest in it in a big hurry. Glitch is very much a sort of modern realization of what they were going for with that. It is nonviolent, which I wonder what the fuck is wrong with me that I think that is a sort of a critical failure for this thing. Like, is it I need to hit something to prove that I have a big dick. Why won't you let me kill skeletons in this game?
I know you can't even, you don't even kill the pigs to get ham from them.
No, you nibble them and they give you some ham
yeah. and then walk off smiling.
Yeah.
It's kind that of
seems,
weird.
That seems wrong.
A quest, massage like a little achievement thing that I just got. Yeah, it definitely implies that you're giving them hand jobs.
Yeah.
Happy ending for everybody. Massage 7 butterflies. And it was like, boy, those butterflies will have to look long and hard to find another massage like that.
Wow.
It's like, wow, this is just, I was just jacking off this butterfly.
Isn't that where you get milk?
Getting its milk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That and if sounds you get, disgusting.
If you get the skill that's like better butterfly jerker, then you get twice as much milk.
Yeah, yeah. Eventually you don't need to gather hand
yes,
cream
it is.
Anymore.
If you get better, when you get better at hand jobs, you get a lot more milk. That's just what happens.
But
and
why
say,
would you do that if you can get the butterflies
why,
for
yeah,
free?
Why nibble the pig when you can get the butterfly milk for free?
You can't make cheese out of ham.
That's true.
You can make ham cheese.
You shake the milk to make butter. You compress the butter to make cheese. And then you use 4 cheeses to make a cheese plate, which is then 4 different kinds of cheese on the plate.
Quattro
stagioni. A little unrealistic. It is basically all of the systems of an MMO, except there's no combat, and so there is no fundamental gameplay context in which these systems exist. It's still fun. Like, those systems... here's the thing. To say that this is a bad game, or to say that this is an uninteresting game, is to, I think, force yourself to acknowledge that... alchemy,
you are a barbarian.
That alchemy in an MMO is not intrinsically fun. That it is only fun in support of a larger game system, right?
I enjoyed playing when I was playing KOL as a serious player, Kingdom of Loathing as a serious player. I enjoyed the economic game, I think, much more than the actual game.
Well, so then maybe you would get into this. Right?
Is this, I mean, is there an economic
there
game?
There is. There's at any point you can just go to like an auction house. I got a quest to drink 12 beers. And instead of finding a dude that sold beer, I just looked at auction. I'm like, well, that's pretty cheap. I bought some from somebody at auction. Okay. And then a little helicopter robot came and brought me 12 beers. And then I tried to drink them all and it only drank 11 of them.
Did you fail the quest?
No. I just had to drink one more. Yeah, because I was already in a good enough mood that I didn't need to drink any more beer.
It didn't even say drunk?
No. You get, I think you get some effect that counts down that's about being drunk.
Counts down with time?
Yeah.
With actual real time?
Everything is percentage bars, yeah. Okay. Like, you go to mine, it takes 15 seconds to mine this thing. You can go, and if other people are mining it, you can click on it, and instead of saying mine, it says help mine, and then you get what you would have gotten and some additional... or for, I don't exactly know how it works. Like there is a lump of rock that you can mine 5 times and get 6 pieces of ore out of it each time. When you go to mine it, if you help somebody mine, you get your 6, but then you get 3 additional from helping somebody. But I don't know if it takes 2 bites out of the rock or not. Right. So I don't know if it is increasing the number of ores that you get out of the rock, but I don't know if it is increasing it by the number
of happy campers people. There are.
Yes.
The amount of sauce.
Right. We are just tiny bubbles.
Yeah.
Instead of many fingers. I can't remember much else.
Yeah, I can't either.
From that. Yeah. So what was I saying about rocks or... Ores. Yeah. I don't know how that works exactly. I mean, I know that if I can massage a butterfly and I can't massage it again that day because it has a refractory period.
Yeah.
I don't know if other people can clearly massage it. You can buy butterfly eggs, and I don't know if that like spawns a butterfly in the world that's then there for other people. I did run into a chicken whose name was Butt, which leads me to believe that a player created that chicken and
not
named it.
Not necessarily, because Chicken Butt is pretty funny, and that could have been... created content.
It was lowercase, but so
okay.
If the designers what? Of the game had done it, they yes,
what?
That's very funny. If the designers had named a chicken Butt, they would have at least capitalized the B.
Are you sure?
Yes,
because
I'm sure.
Okay,
there is like animal husbandry skills. You can feed things, so I think like, and there are gravestones where animals have died.
How did they die if there's no combat?
Starvation. if you use up all your energy, you go to hell, and you have to stomp grapes until it's time to get out of hell.
Like in that I Love Lucy episode?
I don't know. Were they in hell for that episode?
There's that news blooper. I just assumed that the whole show was
Entirety of the 50s took place in hell. Yeah. And I mean, that's why, it's black and white. Yeah. Like Leave It to Beaver.
That's
in hell.
Obviously hell.
Yeah.
Leave It to Beaver was just Satan.
My Two Dads in hell.
Yeah.
The many loves of Dobie Gillis.
The Twilight Zone.
Okay, mm-hmm. that one okay. did largely yep. take place in hell.
Gilligan's Island.
Mm-hmm. What else was Bob?
I never saw Gilligan's Island in black and white.
Oh yeah?
I only ever saw color episodes.
Huh.
MASH.
Again.
War is hell. I don't think there were any black and white episodes of MASH.
Almost entirely positive that they were all color.
Fine.
Unless they shot something later in black and white for effect.
I don't remember what else I've been playing. I told you guys something.
Binding of Isaac?
Yeah, I played some more Binding of Isaac. I'll let Riff do most of the talking about that. I'm a little confused by it. Like, I don't ever understand what any of the items are going to do. It doesn't really matter.
That definitely seems like the main roguelike element of it is learning what all these things do.
That doesn't strike me as a necessary feature of a roguelike.
Well, really? I mean, do you think that because you've had guides and walkthroughs for other roguelikes that you've played?
Maybe.
I think that's what you would...
Right. I mean, so I guess that is, I guess the thing that you bring with you in subsequent games of a roguelike is knowledge that lets you live longer. So sure. Okay. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough, Riff. Well played.
The other thing that you've been playing is Heroes of Neverwinter.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I wouldn't say that I've been playing that. I played a couple of missions on it. It's a real game on Facebook.
It does not look like a Facebook game at all to me as a casual observer.
What does it look like?
It looks like a full screen, that turn-based.
Yeah, it's like isometric. It's just 4th edition D&D. I mean, just the combat, like you're exploring a dungeon and killing some kobolds and shit.
And your characters have like their like at-will use stuff and daily use and stuff.
And counter powers and whatnot. I don't know if they're daily.
I assume that they're
not. I don't know if there are daily ones. There might be one, like a per-adventure, per-fight. There's definitely per-fight powers. I don't know. It's a video game of 4th edition D&D, which is appealing to me.
4th edition D&D is effectively a video game without a computer. There might be a little bit of role playing, but the game is set up with like miniatures and like very specific like encounter stuff.
It's aggro management.
If video games had existed in the 70s in any real capacity that they were aware of, people would have described the original Dungeons and Dragons as being like a mini game. Because why can't you just tell a story? Why do you have hit points?
Some things aid in sort of keeping track of your character state, and some things are like the freaking like having these powers that have effectively cooldowns is just such a nod towards.
But it's different than a magic missile in 1st edition D&D. It had a fucking cooldown. It had a cooldown of until you rest,
memorized it
again. But it's basically a very different kind of thing. I know that I'm on the wrong side of this because everybody says 4th edition D&D turns D&D into a video game, but I don't think that that's actually true. I think that there are a lot of tropes for dealing with math associated with fantasy concepts that have been really refined by years of video games and have been and a lot of things have been distilled down to the things that are like the most conceptually interesting about like swordplay and stabbing dudes in the back and stuff, and it is just it was always a game.
It was
right
okay.
like it was
it
always
was never,
it was always a set of maths.
It was not a turn-based. Well, sorry, it was turn-based, I guess. It was never a, like, miniatures on a grid with, like, the ways that the powers are, like, laid out and used and stuff like that. Just, like, the first time I saw it, I was like, wow, this is just distilled World of Warcraft.
A lot of the powers in 4th edition, I feel like, don't make a lot of sense in a story concept the way they did in previous editions. And like the taunts that can effectively force a monster to attack this other guy regardless of what that monster's NPC personality might be and things like that.
But it is not... It is not the book's job to tell the story. It's the player and the DM's job to tell the story.
Right, but you're... So, like, a DM who was like, okay, well, I need to take out the halfling first or whatever, but then the human or the, you know, the dragonkin fighter says, oh, you, I'm taunting you to attack me. Like, that's... I agree that that sort of takes the narrative out of control of the... Of the DM,
but
right?
So does rolling enough damage to kill the kobold versus rolling enough damage to just barely not kill the kobold. You know, I mean, like, So this is the kind of thing where I want to understand where these objections come from because I think they are relatively baseless.
I'm not objecting to it. I am just saying that fourth edition D&D feels like a video game, whereas first and second edition felt like a tabletop role playing game, and they just seem like two distinct entities in my head.
Right, but my take on that is that if video games had been more sophisticated, then first edition D&D would have felt like a video game.
I disagree.
If those tropes from the early D&D hadn't made it into video games and gotten refined and became a corpus from which abstract concepts. This is exactly like the movie conversation from before, right? Where it's like movies are all video gamey now, and I'm not sure that I believe that that's true. I think that video games are an arena in which everything has been abstracted to death.
Like, I think that when D&D originally came out, I think we could have been like, yeah, this is like, you know, long form collaborative narrative, but you know, sitting around a table with some dice, right? And we could have said that, you know. But that wasn't like an established genre that people participated in large numbers, right? Like that, like when you're describing a scene, you're probably doing it very much like books that you've read or movies that you've seen or something like that. So there's ways in which, you know, first or second edition D&D is could be reduced to books or movies, but
I think it was meant to be. I mean, there are a bunch of sections of the original Dungeon Master's Guide that are about miniatures, that are about playing with miniatures. Like, that is how a lot of people, you know, it started out as a miniatures war game. It started out as rules for individual
characters. Version 3 did have a lot of miniatures
in a miniatures war game. Yeah. Like,
second edition had almost none.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't.
They did not talk about miniatures.
No, yeah, I don't. I don't know anything about that.
Third edition is where I remember miniatures being introduced. That was where because you were using them to keep track of attacks of opportunities, and things like that.
Anyway, Heroes of Neverwinter is good for, you know.
It looked like it would be fun.
Yeah, it seemed like a real. It wouldn't have been out of place as a game on Kongregate, you know. Like it
was weird to me that the way that like the social gaming aspect of it was that you went into a dungeon and you took characters that your friends had along with you.
You took other people's characters in as your party, and then they were then AI controlled. At one point, I was playing and I picked just random dudes. Like, apparently, after level one, you have to start paying gold or the astral diamonds, which are the cash shop currency, to take characters with you on these adventures. But level one characters you can always get for free. And I took somebody's level one character in, and then it popped up a thing that was like, this person is now watching you in observer mode and will give you buffs. And so every once in a while, I'd be about to do something, and these little things would pop up where my stats were being increased for a turn or whatever, because one of the guys whose characters I took was in there. I got an item that seemed to be a thing that you can only give away. Like, you can't use it yourself. You have to send it to someone else, and then they can use it, which seems a little weird.
Yeah, that's a weird contrivance, I think. You know, that's a very much like, we're forcing you to be social here.
Yeah, and I mean, it's like,
there probably are a bunch of things where...
I feel like Farmville has that, you know,
if you want something at your farm, you must get somebody else to give it to you. It is based on,
right, and they don't have to have it because you can't get it, right? They just have to click this thing that's like, make this shit up out of nowhere and send it to this guy.
Yep.
And I feel like, to us, we are people who want video games to make sense internally, right? So we're like, well, where the fuck did she get this corn? Like, if I can't go get this corn, how come, like, so corn is now a thing that this game has told me, all right, everyone but you can have as much corn as they want, right? Yep. Because only other people can create corn as far as my solipsistic view is concerned. You know, which it's clearly a contrivance to make the game socially viral, right? And it is things like that that make me feel that these games are pretty objectionable.
I mean, they are objectionable to me from a moral standpoint when the contrivance is to get a bunch as many people involved as possible so that you can maximize profit. Having a game that was just viral because you wanted as many people playing as possible, but there was no way to monetize it, I think would be less objectionable to me.
See, Tobold got his Facebook account canceled.
Yeah, I heard about that.
What happened?
Well, his Facebook account was as a pseudonym, and they canceled his account, and the terms of service violation that they pointed out to him was that it is apparently against Facebook's terms to friend people on Facebook that you don't know with the express purpose of gaining an advantage in games.
Weird.
It is weird.
I mean, that goes against almost all of Facebook's, like, games policies, which are friend as many possible people as you can
but it's not Facebook's games, right? It's other companies' games that are running on Facebook. It does seem like a weird distinction,
because that's the platform.
Yeah, the player doesn't know that it's not Facebook's game, right? I don't think the average user of this, like, probably the average Mafia Wars player doesn't know Zynga's name.
Probably true. I mean, Zynga tries to brand themselves. They want to have name recognition, so they work pretty hard to, like, get their name in front of players as much as possible, I think.
Yeah, but I guess maybe they do at this point.
But that said, Facebook banning your account because of the way you were playing a game, I think, would probably be pretty jarring to somebody.
Yeah.
You know,
that's the only way I've ever played one of those socially is by... There was a vampire game that Greg Costigan designed. It was like, oh, hey, Greg Costigan designed a social game. I'll see if it's actually any. And there was some writing to it that was pretty good, but it was very much just one of those fucking games, right? Mm-hmm. But I was like, you know, I want to see the rest of this. So I just went to some forum. I did a Google search for, like, groups of friends for whatever this game was called. I don't even remember. And it was like, all right, just I will accept all friend requests. And it was just, I think it might have been a MySpace game. Wow. I think I might have made a MySpace account to play this game.
So this was like 10 years ago?
No, it was like 5 years ago, though, probably. Five is not that much less than 10.
I know. Internet's only been around for 20 years.
What's been your experience of The Binding of Isaac, Griff?
I still have not won it. I think I've gotten to the last level before the boss once. You know, it's cool. I'm enjoying it. I see something new just about every time I play. And I've been slowly learning how things work and getting a little better every time.
I wonder if they adjust that at all. Like, I wonder if it's really giving you a random selection of power-ups or if it's weighted towards things you haven't seen yet.
I don't know about that, but I do know that it adds new things to the pool as you progress.
Oh, is that what those are? Uh-huh. The collectible, and it was like a radioactive spider has been discovered in the basement. Those
are achievements, and I think most of those do add some new thing as well. But also, like, every time you beat the boss, it adds new items, and also I think there are new bosses that can potentially appear.
I've seen a lot of the same bosses
several times. Yeah,
like, it doesn't seem to be picking from an extremely large pool of bosses.
Yeah, I think more bosses appear the more times you win. There's like four horsemen that eventually show up.
How do you feel about that with games that, like, just as you feel like you're getting good at them, they automatically make themselves harder, or they change their nature such that the game isn't the same game that,
like,
you've been
playing. Like, the game that you're good at is no longer there.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that would be bad. This particular game, I don't think, hits that extreme.
You can always delete your save.
Yeah.
You know, I feel like they want to change the game as you get bored with it.
Right.
So. Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting line. I'm just curious whether you think that that's something that people want and enjoy, or if that ends up being more frustrating, or if that would be something that it would be worth, like, letting a player customize.
And you're going to quit playing it for one reason or another, right? Like, are you going to quit playing it because it changed into something you didn't like, or are you going to quit playing it because you got bored because it was the same every time? Either way, you've quit. Or you've talked about it on the internet and said you were going to quit and then didn't.
Would it be interesting or valuable for a game to ask you whether you were still excited by the game or whether you were getting kind of bored with it?
Huh. I'd rather would know. They'd have to hook up something to your dick. Like a plethysmograph, a penile plethysmograph.
Limpometer?
No, that would be a... There's a real name for that.
Plethysmograph?
Ask your girlfriend. I'm sure she hooks up her subjects to it all the time.
Yeah.
Penile plethysmograph. And then they show you pictures of like a cow, and if you get a boner, they're like, cow fucker! And throw you in the cow fucker ward of the asylum.
Wow.
Yeah, it sucks.
They give you the cow fucker award at the asylum.
Yeah. Yeah, number one cow fucker. They give you a coffee mug.
Yeah.
It says world's greatest cow fucker. But then they don't allow you to drink coffee. It's fucked up.
Oh, yeah. So I played a little of that. I've still been playing a bunch of Neverwinter Nights.
Why is Neverwinter the thing? Like, where did that come from?
It's just a city.
Yeah.
In the Forgotten Realms?
Is it Forgotten? Whatever Baldur's Gate was. It's the same world as Baldur's Gate.
Okay.
Also played a little bit of a pretty interesting iPad game called Loop Record.
Okay.
It's Record spelled like raccoon. It's the sort of game that I probably am not going to play it again. I mean, it was only $2, so I kind of got my money's worth because it is the first, I think, completely new puzzle game concept I've seen in a very long time.
Oh, yeah?
It is... you've got these little clips, these little 1-second snippets of public domain movies and commercials and stuff.
Okay.
Oh, I heard somebody talking about this.
Mm-hmm. And every one of them has, through the clip, a sort of continuous motion. Like there's one that's a clip from some luggage commercial that shows a suitcase flying down out of the sky and zooming into a landing, and that makes a sort of path of movement from the top of the frame to the right side of the frame. And so it shows you that clip and then puts another randomly selected or partially randomly selected clip next to it that has a path of motion that goes from the left side of its frame where it meets the previous one and then has a path of movement that goes somewhere else. So that if these two clips were in sync, you would be able to see a continuous path of movement running through both frames over time, but they're not in sync. So you have to press your finger on the new frame, move your finger back and forth to find the particular frame of animation where the movement starts, and then let go at just the right time so that these two clips sync up. And depending on how close you get to a perfect match, you get more or fewer points, and then bonus points depending on whether you got it on your first try or not. Wow. And then it adds another frame, and it depending on what game mode you're doing, you're either trying to complete a continuous loop across the entire screen or just playing infinite mode where you're trying to chain up the most first try hits. And it's interesting. It's aesthetically, I personally found it really pleasing because it's all the old black and white commercials and has that retro look, and the sound of the clips is there as well, and so they all end up overlapping, and it's this kind of bizarre cacophony.
Huh.
But it was pretty cool.
It is unlike this, but it reminds me of a game that I think I linked to on like Kill 10 Rats, which was just, it was a scrambled picture. It was just a scrambled photograph, but it was divided into a bunch of different sized rectangles, and it would just scale whatever section you had in that rectangle to the size of that rectangle. So you were looking at a photograph and it was scrambled up. It was divided into a bunch of rectangles that were different sizes and then scrambled, but like if you swapped two and you put it into a twice as big of a box, it just stretched the picture out.
Oh, okay.
And or so it was like, it. Yeah, or shrunk it. So it was just like trying to get, like, you had a lot of aspect ratio clues as to whether you had the thing in the right place or not.
Would you move something into a big rectangle just to sort of get a better sense of what it was?
No, because you didn't really get, I mean, you might move it out of a tiny one into a big one, but they didn't tend to get small enough, and the pictures weren't detailed enough that it was really, really that big of a deal. And I don't remember what that game was called. I just tried to get the game you were describing on my phone. Is it only an iPad game?
It might be.
All right, I have to grab that when I get home.
Yeah,
I feel home like is where the heart is.
You would need some significant screen real estate to play it. I don't think it would work on a phone.
Yeah.
Is that all we've been playing?
Pretty much.
So there's There's no iPhone 5. That's the worst news I've heard out of Apple all day.
Oh. iPhone 4S. Does that not count as a 5?
No.
I want that voice assistant. I want it to work, which I think is a different thing than wanting to have it.
Will it make the little Star Trek tweedly noise when it does something?
What's that woman's name?
Majel
Mahjong Baker.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Steve Jobs, that sucks.
Yeah.
He seemed like a good guy.
Here's my meta filter period.
I don't actually know how good of a guy he was.
You don't think?
I don't know. Like, the depictions of him, like, sort of had him being kind of a hard ass.
Yeah, but I mean, I think he was...
I mean, he was a visionary.
His vision was clearly to improve the world in measurable ways, right? Like, he never... I don't know. Like, a lot of people disagree with a lot of Apple's practices, right? But, like... Everything always made sense on some level to me.
Yeah.
Like the walled garden of the iPhone makes it so my iPhone works, right? As opposed to the cacophonous horseshit that is Android.
Yeah, I mean, the people that object to it, I feel, are people that are coming from it from the wrong point of view and not thinking about the perspective of the typical consumer.
Yeah, it sucks. He was young.
Yeah,
comparatively.
56.
So bad. Bad news. Everything relating to Apple, bad news yesterday and today.
Yeah. Well,
what do you reckon is going to happen? I mean, do you think it shakes consumer confidence in it? Do you think that most people know? Do you think that most people who... So imagine the segment of the population that represents, say, 90% of Apple's income. Do you think those people know Steve Jobs' name? Do you think they know that he's dead? Do you think that it makes any difference at all?
They'll know that he's dead once the news starts up tomorrow morning.
But do they care?
I think...
Right, I mean, the average iPod owner...
The question is going to be, I think in the longer term, the question is whether...
Without his guidance, does the company continue to make the right decisions?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's what I think most people will care about, because I feel like they've
it sounds like
enough...
he's been training up his replacement for quite a while.
Yeah, yeah.
His replacement is actually just the vessel into which they're going to upload his consciousness now. Which sucks for that guy. I bet he thought he had some time. It's more like... He should have known. He should have known when he got into that car crash in the 80s, and they suddenly he just evaporated into a big burst of electricity and reappeared on a table inside Apple's headquarters 20 years later. He was like, "Fuck, they're replacing Mick Jagger's brain with me, aren't they?" That was not precisely what happened in the movie Free Jack, but it was close enough. Man, I can't wait for Ghost Rider 2.
Is it really
making a 2?
Yeah. No, I told you about that. It's got that scene in the trailer where the kid's like, "What happens if you have to pee while you're on fire?" And Nicolas Cage goes, "It's awesome." And then the trailer ends with a scene shot from behind and between Ghost Rider's legs with him just pissing fire.
You've got to be kidding
me. That's like worse than anything that I could make up about this, but I am totally looking forward to the video game that they make based on that movie where
the first one?
No.
I'm not going to watch the second one either.
I'm looking forward to the video game that's based on it because I want to be fire pissing Nicolas Cage.
You could just change all of your character names in every other game to that.
Oh, man. So it could be like a Majora's Mask style thing where the whole game takes place over like an hour in a casino. And then you could get like a passive...
Like Run Lola Run?
No, like Snake Eyes. What's the...
That was 10 minutes, I think.
Okay, fine. But fine. Whatever.
Okay.
I don't step on your... No, I totally step on your jokes. Yeah, I deserve this. You get a passive skill that gives you like crippling OCD.
Yeah.
Yeah. What else?
A bear costume that lets you kick women in the face.
Okay. the first quest is to find out how to get burned. How to get burned? Oh, I peed on it. That's the answer that you discover. You have to steal a baby wearing PJs with Yodas and shit on them.
Mm-hmm. The baby is wearing the PJs, or you're wearing the PJs?
Yeah. Well, you eventually are wearing the PJs.
You get a snakeskin jacket and an Elvis impression.
Okay. Have to save the president from a prison plane.
Oh yeah, yeah. You gotta order the guy to put the bunny back in the box.
Okay.
I've lost track of what we're doing here.
It's the video game based on Ghost Rider 2.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry.
It's gonna be great.
Yeah.
It's gonna be great. Then you have to train a new wizard.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about that movie.
No, I didn't see it.
It's like went in one eye and out the other.
I kind of want to see it.
Yeah.
Just because it's Nicolas Cage. Man, this sounds like a great game.
Yeah. I can't wait for
the Nicolas Cage Metroidvania.
The Val Kilmer version. Yeah, what other powers would he have besides being fire?
He could see breakdancing ghosts.
I don't think I know what that
the, is. That one's in Port of Call, New Bad Lieutenant, New Orleans.
Oh, okay. I need to see that.
It's weird.
Yeah. Why can't I think of any other Nicolas Cage movies? This sucks. My brain is broken. So Wikipedia did something in Italy?
Yeah, there's, I guess, a law in Italy now that if anybody gets pissed off at anything that an Italian webpage says, they can order the webpage to change it with no oversight or third-party judging or anything.
If there's no oversight or third-party judging, and what happens if they don't do it?
Well, the oversight is, this is the law, you have to do this, you have 48 hours. I don't know, they take your site down, they come and take you away, I guess.
I mean, in Italy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I think it only applies to Italian websites. But,
oh, drink yourself to death in Vegas.
Yes.
So is it a website that is written in Italian? Do they have just total control over that language?
It's an interesting question. Can they go after the Chef Boyardee site?
Oh yeah, dangerous.
But yeah, Wikipedia
how is
decided.
How is this going to impact Italian Spider-Man?
Screw this.
That's a good question.
Took their ball and went home.
I mean, you kind of have to.
Yeah,
right?
There's no way that could possibly
work. Something has to happen to make this absurd law stop being a thing.
Yeah,
I saw something recently where. In a survey of Americans, 89% were in favor of a complete dismantling and replacement of Congress. 89% of people polled. I don't know how broad the poll was, but it was like, do you think that everyone should be kicked out of Congress and start over with new congressmen? And 89% of people said yes.
Wow. There is a thing that popped up on, I think, Boing Boing recently that some congressmen are trying to push through legislation that makes freedom of speech no longer an inherent right, but a government granted Benny.
I mean, freedom of speech is.
It sort of already is a government.
Government granted
right. Well, but
thing,
it's.
Right? Like, I mean, it's
called a right. So you have.
I mean, there was.
That
the
makes
Bill
it
of
different.
Rights.
Yeah, that makes it different from.
So they would change it to
privilege.
The Bill of Bennies. They would put an amendment that revoked freedom of speech and then pass a law that said, oh, you can still do it.
So long as we elect
we
not to take that privilege away from you.
And as long as you elect for us not to take that privilege away. What's going on with Scrolls and Elder Scrolls and Notch?
I haven't heard anything new recently,
the last thing
except
I saw,
they're definitely going to court.
Yeah, and the last thing I saw was that even after, like, Mojang was like, okay, we will revoke the trademark request. We just won't try and trademark this name, and they are still coming after them.
Because that was a lot of people were saying that no, this totally isn't evil on the part of Bethesda, because they're afraid that
right. Well, you
that
have to you
not
have
having
to.
The trademark on Scrolls is going that they're afraid that Mojang is going to come after them is what people were saying. It's like,
you have to maintain a trademark. You have to protect it if somebody tries to do a similar trademark in a similar industry. Otherwise, it's precedent for you to lose.
It's
the trademark.
It's not even a question of whether the trademark. It's just that you can't. If anybody tries to start a business or operate a business under a similar. Or the same or similar name in the same field, you have to
tell
them to change.
That's true,
name.
But I mean, if Mojang is offering not to seek this trademark on Scrolls and they're still going after them,
well,
then
but that's
obviously
the thing.
There's,
even, they
there's
don't
something
have to,
else
but,
happening.
But here. I mean, what he just said is that you don't even have to be trademarking.
They
right?
just need
if,
to, they,
if
they
you
can't
don't
use the
actively
Scrolls.
Go after people mm-hmm. who do things that you that violate your trademark, then you lose the trademark, right? You can't protect it anymore if
it's,
you don't.
It's weird
protect
though,
it against
the,
every
the
attack.
Trademark is for Elder Scrolls, right? And they just want to have a game called Scrolls.
Like, I'm gonna as I often do when I'm forming opinions about things, bring my my tremendous naivete to bear. And I'm gonna say that this is what I saw happen in this situation. I saw a guy who never had any trouble with lawyers until he got his own lawyers.
I will say that you saw a guy who didn't have any trouble with lawyers until he had a fuck ton of money.
But so that had this conversation once today already.
Yeah.
And that was the exact retort, and this is my exact retort. I don't think it was his idea to file a trademark for Scrolls. And and I'm pretty sure that he would never have gotten Bethesda's attention if he hadn't.
I don't know about.
You don't, yeah. I mean, that's it's debatable.
Sure it is that, my yeah. it is my limited, you know, not being a lawyer, understanding that. So the Elder Scrolls is a trademark, I assume. It is incumbent on Bethesda to tell anybody that's trying to make a game called Elder Scrolls that they can't do that because they have a trademark on it.
Right.
So regardless of whether they're filing for trademark or not, I think that would be important. I don't know whether the protection of Elder Scrolls extends to the protection over to the phrase Scrolls.
Yeah, I mean, what happens if you try to trademark something that is a subset of somebody else's trademark? Yeah,
that I don't know.
Right? It seems like you wouldn't be able to, right? It seems like you wouldn't be able to trademark a single word, but I mean, Windows is trademarked.
Right.
Right, I mean, I feel like the lobbying that has occurred in the past for big players to be able to suddenly do things that don't make any fucking sense.
But they're not copywriting it; they're just trademarking. It's not like you can't use the word Windows, right? It's that you can't
make a computer product with the name Windows, right?
That's fine.
That's the thing. Like it is like the guy who trademarked Edge and is suing everybody for any game that has the word Edge in it. Which it's like that's clearly an Edge case where you can't do that. Right? You can't make a video game called Sword and then trademark that, and then suddenly no one is ever allowed to make a video game with the word Sword in it ever again. Right? That is an absurd situation for there to be a bunch of people whose job it is to make that situation a reality.
It does, you know, there are a finite number of words in the English language and it seems like we create.
That's why German is better. You can just keep making up new words.
We make words at a slower rate than they're being trademarked. So
double fart sword.
Eventually,
chronicles.
There will just assuming everyone pays up their trademark dues or whatever. I think eventually we won't be able to make games at all with names. Games will have to be numbered because you can't trademark.
Hey guys, I got an idea. Yeah? Let's only be successful in a niche. Make a sort of a subsistence amount of money so we can just keep making video games without drawing the attention of anybody who would ever sue us for anything.
I think that sounds like a really
good idea.
Cool. That's all I'm going to do. You didn't want a bigger house, did you?
Nah.
This place is fine.
I am so ridiculously comfortable in my life that I could keep doing this for a long time.
I mean, yep. I would like a solid gold sex yacht. I would like that.
I would like a solid retirement fund. But other than that,
I mean, at this point, I would give everything for a solid bowel movement. Cool news. Let's do the assignment. Castlevania fucking 2.
Woohoo!
This was a bad game.
Yeah.
I mean, you definitely saw the beginnings of all the Castlevania stuff that we love in it.
Sort of?
It was very proto.
One thing I love about modern Metroidvania games is the fact that most of the text that you encounter in the game is just a lie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So
a lot of references to specifically named places that the names don't show up anywhere for you to know if you're there or not.
Like, yeah, you can always see. You can.
I think I probably would have spent half an hour trying to fuck around with the goddamn ferryman and garlic, and been like, "What the fuck am I supposed to do here?"
Because it's just a lie.
Right. Because somebody tells you. So I am curious if you took 10 dudes who had never played Castlevania 2. You took like 10, 25-year-old guys of sound mind and body. You locked them in a room with Castlevania 2 and no access to the internet, no access to information from the outside world, and said, finish this game or we will kill you. You have as long as you want, but if you don't finish this game, we're going to kill you. The only way that we're going to let you out of here is if there is that tombstone on the screen. And then you can leave, and then you can go back to your family, and you can eat, do whatever. Do whatever you want after that, but you can't leave until you finish it, and if you don't finish it, we're going to kill you. I don't think any of them would. I don't think any of them would survive.
Well, not if they don't get food.
I think I would eventually figure it out.
You think?
Yeah.
Eventually. it would just be such a painful, arduous process.
You certainly wouldn't have discovered everything, right? The fucking dropping garlic in the graveyard to spawn an NPC. No. I don't think you have to do that, though, right? Those are both optional. Well, wait, one of them...
Fuck, you get something...
One of them gives you the diamond...
Yeah. Which you don't need.
You don't need. And one of them gives you something that I think maybe you do. No, the other one gives you the silk bag. The other one gives you the thing that lets you carry more laurels. So that would have just... would have only been a pain in the ass. Honey, could you pick up some garlic on the way home? Sure. Where's the garlic store? Oh, it's in this abandoned building. I have to burn through the floor with holy water to find the guy that's selling garlic. How did that guy get in there?
Why? Why is there holy? Why is holy water the thing that breaks up blocks? Seriously, what the fuck?
Because you can't whip. You can't whip
down. No, I understand. Yeah. Like,
you can't whip down, but you can't whip the blocks that you can destroy with holy water. You can't destroy with the whip, right?
You can't eventually.
You could if you had Dracula's nail or whatever. Yeah. So like. This Dracula's nail gives you the power of eliminating the fucking tedium of throwing this goddamn holy water at every brick in the game.
Yeah, but in order to use it, you have to give up your shield, which is some sort of rib. What the fuck bullshit is that?
I think it's his entire rib cage, but yeah.
It certainly looks like a shield when you're holding it.
Yeah,
it
looks certainly like looks a, like a single a bone
femur when it's in your inventory. the number of puzzles that are there, like. The number of, like, game-critical NPCs that are hidden behind walls for no fucking reason.
Yeah.
You go in like, oh, I guess this room is empty. But no, every empty room in the fucking game has a wall or a floor that you can destroy.
One. There's one that does not. It's in the very last town.
Cool.
The totally abandoned town.
So then that's the one that just you waste your time.
Yeah.
Because you are trained by the game to believe that there's... What... Like, what reason? A lot of the problems with this game, I wanted to blame on the localization, right? I wanted to blame the fact that these things were really poorly translated. But then looking at that wiki that I found, that walkthrough in the wiki, no, there's a chart of everything that everybody ever tells you, and the true ones are green, and the false ones are red, and they're fucking all red.
There's between one and four true statements in each town.
But they are... They are rare enough that you can't trust
anything. Oh, yeah. No, the fact that most of the things are lies is awful in terms of actually figuring out what the fuck to do in the game. I don't know that I think I would have maybe eventually figured out the blue crystal thing, but I don't know that I would have ever figured out the red crystal thing.
The red crystal thing is ducking at the cliff?
At the cliff. One of the secret clue books tells you about that, but it's one that's not in a manor, so you're probably not going to be wandering around with Dracula's eye on, and it's
Dracula's
in a place...
Eye on.
Yeah,
it's like Dracula with Morpheus Electron.
It's somewhere that you're never gonna randomly encounter it.
Do you know how long I spent on that first fucking globe trying to figure out how the fuck to get something out of it?
Oh, because you were playing it without.
I was trying.
You
I
made
first...
it to the end of the first mansion without any spoilers.
Oh, yes. Wow.
Which I don't think I would have had the patience to get.
It took
far.
Me a long time. I was so frustrated and angry getting there because I got to the mansion and I was like, okay, and then I just started wandering around and was just like, what the fuck? And I eventually bought a wooden stake. But like, I didn't think that would be. I had no idea that would be the thing to use on that goddamn sphere. And like, it cost me 50 gold, which was a lot of gold at that point. So I wasn't just gonna like
hearts.
Yeah. Use it willy nilly or whatever.
They can't use hearts for anything that makes any sense.
Yeah.
The opportunities for healing are too rare. I mean, you can heal by leveling up, which I did
a couple times. Lot.
Yeah.
I don't know that I
did
ever...
that a couple of times, and that is probably what caused me to get the bad ending.
Oh, right. Because, I think I got the bad... The bad ending is the one
where it's all black and white.
Oh, I got the middle ending. Mm-hmm. I got the one where you die. You kill him, but you die
from
your
wounds.
That's
what I got as well.
And it's weird that there were five... mansions with five parts of Dracula in them, and only two of them had bosses.
Yeah.
The other two just
only
didn't.
Three bosses in the entire game, including Dracula.
The fact that you kill a boss, get something that's like an optional drop, and then you leave...
It's totally not a boss.
You leave the room and come back, and it's just back again.
Yeah, because it's not a boss. It's just a monster.
Just a hard monster.
It's just a hard monster that's in that room. That's weird.
Yeah.
There are a lot of monsters in the game. For an NES-era game, there are a lot of sprites that represent monsters. There are like probably twice as many monsters in Castlevania 2 as there were in Castlevania 1.
Are you counting recolors?
No.
There's a bunch of monsters that don't show up until the second half.
Boss, but I mean, so there's the werewolf, there's the skeleton with armor, there's the slime, there's the those shadow guys that are only there on like one screen.
Yeah, there's harpies, there's the birds and the harpies.
Yeah, like there's and the ghosts that go up and there's like multiple kinds of ghosts splitting.
Medusas,
the bat, the Medusa, which you barely ever see. There's the mummies that wander around. There's those fire guys that are kind of awesome.
Yeah.
I feel like there are probably twice as many enemy sprites in Castlevania 2 as in Castlevania 1. The end boss fight was
ridiculous.
It once you are moving so fast that your traversal of the entire screen has you in three places at once, it doesn't look like you're moving anymore. It just looks like there's a fucking bug that's making you exist in multiple places at the same time.
Yeah.
Like
that fight was really hard if you let it go, and it was really easy if you just jumped in right away.
I just found it trivial.
I mean, yeah, I just stood in a corner and threw the holy flame.
I killed him with diamonds.
Oh.
That worked really well.
Huh.
Like,
yeah, so it must have just been a really easy boss fight.
It was a really easy boss fight.
Golden knives, and I had like
what
eight
level
laurels.
Were you at?
Five.
Okay. I think I did four. I think I got to four, yeah.
So something that I did like was leveling, both, you know, healing you or whatever, but it also gave you extra hit points sometimes and also reduced the amount of damage you took. Which is like a shorthand for armor.
The same thing, right? I mean, those are...
Not really, because it was much more significant to reduce the damage you took.
But not really, because... Like, doubling your hit points and having the damage you take.
But it didn't
identical.
Double your hit points. It would give you, like, three extra bars or whatever.
Okay.
So,
basically, the ones where you got extra life were just, like, a shitty version of the other levels where it reduced the damage.
No, I think you always got reduced damage and sometimes also got extra life.
Hmm. You never got to deal any more damage until you found the whips.
The whips, So, God.
The fire whip was cool. I remember being excited about that when I was a kid.
There was really never any sense that you were making progress in the game. I was collecting stuff and I was going, but I didn't know. I didn't really even know what my fucking goal was. I didn't know what I was trying to do.
Something that we lose sight of when we're playing these Nintendo games is the manual.
Yeah.
That's true.
You know, which, I don't know. I meant to fish out my Nintendo Power
with this
one in it to see what that was like. Because, I mean, knowing that I beat this as a kid, like, I know I beat it as a kid, and I got the bad ending. But I must have had a walkthrough. And then I looked it up, and it was like, yep, that was that second issue of Nintendo Power, and I definitely had that.
So I eventually just started using a walkthrough and just started using it basically for everything. I would read it first, and then I would play it. And it began to feel very much like I was just... performing a series of actions. It did not feel to me like I was playing a game. I was just
That's kind of what happened to me, is look over the other monitor, read the next paragraph, do that thing.
Yeah.
You said that, and I countered that without save states, I don't think it would have felt like that, because it would have been difficult to perform each of the actions in turn. So even knowing what you were supposed to do, it still wouldn't have just been a foregone conclusion. You couldn't have just like, whoop, got hit, better bounce back to 5 seconds ago when I was safe.
I wonder if it was, like, I feel like Nintendo Power would have maps, and they would annotate the maps, but they would still let you sort of explore them and figure out what order you wanted to do stuff in, whereas a walkthrough just tells you what to do in sequence. And maybe that was the problem. I'm just not entirely sure what the dissatisfaction was.
Yeah, I wanted to grab that Nintendo Power so I could look at it. And then even after I realized I'd forgotten to get it out of the box in my garage, I wanted to find, like, a PDF of it somewhere. But, I don't know. You know, I don't remember feeling as a kid like my experience of the game was being ruined, because wow, I just would not be able to do fucking anything if it wasn't. Because,
like, Metroid, I remember playing Metroid with a map and enjoying it a lot, and, like, not feeling like I was cheating to know where all the secret power-ups were. Like, still, it was sometimes hard to get to them, you know, even knowing where they were. Like, the energy tank that's, like, at the very beginning of the game that you can get. But you have to have the freezer.
You have to have the ice beam and high jump, right? Like...
You can, or be really good with freeze
bombing.
Yeah. So.
You could do a freeze pop.
Yeah.
You could drink some of that freeze pop from Charlie in the Chocolate Factory that makes you fart upwards.
So yeah, so that was last week's assignment.
Yeah. You know, we all beat it, which
we did.
Is saying something, yeah. Right? Like, we spent more time on this than we did on a lot of other games. I think it was just bullheadedness that
yeah.
You're like, God damn it. I just want this to be over so that I can stop and not feel guilty about not playing it anymore. You've already got a significant head start on the next assignment. We're going to do a 2-week assignment.
It's a lot of game.
Because it's a lot of game. Psychonauts was released Woo-hoo. For the Mac. And you can get it on Steam.
It's $10, and it is a steal at $10.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
I'm nervous that I'm going to get pissed off after playing it for half an hour and put it away in disgust.
You just gotta not be able to find the door into the first level again.
It is so, so good. I am enjoying it. Like, there's definitely some bullshit factor, mostly with the camera, but like the writing
the
and
the writing
content
is so good.
Good.
That you, but, you know, it is. It is almost a game that I want to watch a video of somebody playing it, or as Tim Schafer suggested to me, have my kids play it for me.
I highly recommend just running around and exploring between each major event, because there are a bunch of just optional conversations that you can run across. Then they're usually pretty funny, and they won't be there if you go there later.
I did not. The opening cutscene is just really, really good.
Yeah.
Like, it's long, but there's nothing wasted, you know. Yeah. There's not, like, it establishes characters, nobody says anything stupid.
Yeah,
you know, it's like, wow, this, like, they were just doing this right.
Yeah,
like,
it is. Yeah, I cannot at this point praise it enough.
The only thing I remember from when I played it on PS2 originally that I did not like was that the difficulty curve becomes pretty well vertical on the last level.
Oh, yeah.
Did you beat it?
Yeah. No.
No. You played through to the last level.
Yeah. I got
the last level the meat circus?
Yeah, I got to the meat circus.
Apparently they have made that easier.
Oh, good.
Well, he was quoted as saying, "We listened to fan concerns about the meat circus and gave everybody what they wanted. It has been made significantly more difficult." So I'm assuming that means that they've altered it to be easier.
Or maybe they just didn't do anything.
Yeah. Well, you know, yeah, we've talked about that. We've talked about making announcements that we had changed things, even though we hadn't, just to create false goodwill.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
Yeah.
We should do that. Everyone should do that. Lie. So we're going to, since this is a 2-week assignment and this makes sense in my head at this point somehow right now, we're going to skip the listener mail segment of the show this time. I'll try to collect my thoughts and collect my emails and my forum posts and whatnot for next time and give you a longer section, the longer listener feedback section that you deserve. Until then, how would somebody send us listener feedback if they wanted to send us some listener feedback, Kevin?
The easiest and sort of most reliable way is just to tweet at us. We are found on Twitter at VGHotDog. You can also send an email. That's pretty decent. That's VGHotDog@gmail.com. You can also post in our forums, which the easiest way to find those is to go to videogameshotdog.com.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, everybody enjoy playing Psychonauts.
Yeah,
I know
please
I
do.
Will probably get angry and try real hard to enjoy it.
If you're having a hard time, spend some time farming around and buy up all the upgrades.
Okay.
I think that will make it easier.
Yeah.
I like farming.
Yeah.
Do I get an opportunity to make a really sweet farm?
If you farm up 50 arrowheads or whatever, and then you can go buy something that makes it almost trivial to find hundreds more. So don't spend a lot of time trying to get all the individual ones.
Is it the arrowhead detector,
basically?
Arrowhead,
yeah.
Springs water delivery truck.
It's a like a dowsing rod for
is it Broken Arrow with Nicolas Cage?
It is.
We forgot that level where you have to beat up Christian Bale, Christian Slater. You have to beat up Christian Slater and steal his nuke,
crash a jet.
You know, Nicolas Cage was not even in that movie.
Oh, there's
John Travolta.
We forgot about the
where you swap faces.
Oh yeah, there's that one. There's also the one where you have to catch the glowing green sphere so that Sean Connery doesn't melt.
Oh
yeah,
right,
yeah. Because Sean Connery is a witch, and that sphere is full of water. All right, good night, everybody.
Good night.
Have a great week, everyone.